All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well this morning. We'll pick up from where we left off last week in Ephesians 3. I taught through Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 10. I originally was going to teach through the 13th verse, but we cut it a little short last week, so I'm going to finish that up today. For those that weren't here, just give you a quick recap. As we started last week, I'll let everybody know, Freddie taught 2 weeks ago, and he taught about the family of God. Anybody remember that? That we are a family, right? Jesus is the head of the family, but we are a spiritual family. And then our brother Michael took it from there and talked about this spiritual building, this gathering of the saints, where Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and then the foundation being the apostles and prophets and their teachings. And so last week, we picked up from there and we looked at us as Gentiles that we're in. That's good news, right? That if we're not Jewish, we are in, right? We are not just in by the skin of our teeth, but that we are in as fellow heirs, that we are just as much a part of things because of Jesus as anybody. And so that's the good news that we looked at last week. By the way, being the fact that that always was his plan, that we would be fellow heirs. So before I teach on the last couple of verses, I want to do something a little different this morning. I felt led to share something that I think is very helpful. So let me ask you a question. This is not a trick question. What do I hold in my hand right here? Anybody listening beside Joe this morning? Letter from God, the Word of God, Bible, right? Any of those answers will do. The Word, or some people like to call it the sword, all right? So anybody willing like me to admit that sometimes when you read this book, you get a little lost, right? Especially going back in the Old Testament, you read some of the things, you think, man, I just don't quite understand. I want to give you something that I believe, and it's not an original thought. I've heard it a long time ago, but it has stuck with me that has made so much of Scripture make sense. I believe that if you give me a couple of minutes this morning before we go into these last few verses, that I can sum up this book in 3 words. You think I can do it this morning? 3 words, 3 singular words this morning, all right? Here's what they are. As the sirens pass by, this is hot news right here. The word and, the word with, and the word in. And, with, and in. You pray with me this morning before we start with that, and then we'll get into those few verses. I'll be shorter this morning in time, which, you know, normally when a preacher says that, it doesn't mean much. So, but I'll try to stick with it. All right, let's pray together. So, Father, we pray that, I don't know why I felt led to share this morning, heading into these verses, other than just you directed it, and so we'll go with that and trust that over any man's wisdom or thoughts or anything like that. That's what we always want to be about here. That's why we gather outside in the parking lot in the rain or shine, is because you led us here much better than our plan or conventional wisdom. You've met us out here, and so we trust you when you kind of lead us off script or what some may consider a little different. We just simply view that as what we've been teaching, that yes, we are a family, yes, we are this spiritual building, but in those two illustrations, that of the family, Jesus, you are the head of the spiritual building, you are the chief cornerstone. Everything we do is centered on you. And so we trust you have a reason. I think some of that reason is that there are those within the sound of my voice this morning that maybe have tried to pick up the Bible and read it, and it just feels difficult, or it feels like not understanding context or things like that. Or maybe there are even some here this morning that have brushed off the Bible as just old news, and it doesn't make sense, or it's not for me. I pray that these 3 words that you just brought to my attention this week as I was looking over, that it speaks to hearts. And then from there, as we look in Ephesians, that it closes out and makes sense this morning into our heart and mind why you would take us here. And so, and with and in, I pray that you speak through these things in the letter of Ephesians this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I want to just take you on a brief history lesson. Three words, okay? The first word is and. I want you to think about this, God and his people. If you go back in the Old Testament, first, I want you to go to the very beginning pages. You know it, right? Everybody knows where Genesis is, right? The easiest books in the Bible to find, Genesis, Psalms, and Revelation, right? Genesis in the beginning, Psalms, you know the trick. If you flip to the middle of your Bible, you're pretty close, you're there. Revelation, the last part, all right? In the first part of your Bible, God and his people. I believe this is twofold, okay? God and his people, and this is that you and I, believe it or not, show up on the first pages of the Bible. You've got introduction, you've got publishing, you've got all this stuff and you know, about your Bible, and then you get to the first pages, and then you find us there. We enter the story, right? Creation, where God breathes everything into life. He speaks everything into existence, and to the point of creating us from the dust and says, this is the pinnacle of my creation. How many of you have ever been on a beautiful mountaintop, been at the beach, been at your place, whatever it is, the lake, the river? For me, one of the most favorite places I have in the world is the solitude of the woods, right? I love it. I see that creation and something in me comes alive. But to all of those things, as beautiful as they are, when God gets to us, his created beings, he says, very good, right? You are the apple of his eye. I want to add this in this morning, all right? It doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do. You still are the apple of his eye. The blood of Jesus covers everything that you've ever done. He looks at you and says that he is well pleased in Jesus' name. So we see this creation, right? God and his people. But then you also see this special connection, especially the first parts of your Bible. If you're familiar with it, you see God and his people, the people of Israel, right? That these are a special and set apart people. And it's all about them and their covenants with him and these promises that are coming. By the way, you are on those pages too, his people that will be grafted in. So you got me? God and his people. That's pretty much the Old Testament. Everybody tracking with me this morning? God and his people. Then the word with. Remember I told you, and, with, and in. All right? Anybody want to take a stab at where with comes from? We hit to the New Testament, and then we see this beautiful place in Scripture where all of these promises about the one who was to come. And then you get to the New Testament where Jesus is born, and all of these names that we see about Jesus, he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God. But the most beautiful name that is associated, he is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So you've got the Old Testament, God and his people. Then you get to the New Testament, God with his people, that God himself enters into human history in the form of a man named Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Why? Is for your rescue and my rescue. He paid the price that you and I could not pay. We had earned death. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So God and his people in the Old Testament, God with his people in the New Testament, and then the word in. This is the beautiful part. This is where we've been talking about in Ephesians. This is where you and I come in, that God in his people, he indwells his people. So you've got God and his people, God with his people, and God in his people, the church. By the way, Marcus, where are you at this morning? Marcus and I was talking this morning about where's our church building. Look around. You're it. You're the people. Right? We are the family of God, the people of God. This is the church. It's the people. And that's what this whole in, God in his people, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so if you look in the Old Testament, you see about the Holy Spirit, God chose to send and then take back his Spirit in people's lives as he saw fit. But in the New Testament, when Acts happens, the, you know, ascension of Jesus, He indwells his people at the moment that they believe. So God in his people. Everybody with me this morning? God and his people, God with his people, and God in his people. That is basically this book summed up in three words. Hopefully I didn't take too long with that. So why share all this? I want you to stop and I want you to think for just a moment. I want you to realize what all has happened throughout all of human history. Of God creating everything he created, creating you and I, by the way, with the foreknowledge that you and I would miss the mark. We would introduce sin into the picture. He created us in spite of that, longing for relationship. All that has gone into for you to have access to the King of Kings. Everybody look with me this morning. Or mom, make sure they're all paying attention back there. I want you to listen this morning. You have access to the Father. And you have access to the Father not just as some hired hand, not just as some servant. You, through Jesus, have access to the Father as a son and as a daughter. That is the most beautiful words that could be spoken this morning. That is why we gather. That is why we exist. God and his people, God with his people, and God in his people. All that has gone in for you to have access and relationship. One more thing before we get to Ephesians. If you know anything about the Old Testament, there used to be a priestly role, right? This priest that would go into the tabernacle and he would go to the Holy of Holies. And listen to me this morning. He was the only person that could enter into the presence of God. You remember the story when Jesus dies and he dies on the cross and he says those words, "It is finished." Do you remember what happens to this veil that was there that separated man from the Holy of Holies, that separated man from the presence of God? It was ripped, right? I see some of you making that motion, right? It was torn. And the scripture tells us that it wasn't just torn from the bottom to the top so man could have done it. It was torn from top to bottom as if God himself has rent this veil in two so that you and I, the common man, the common woman, could have access to God through Jesus Christ. It's beautiful. The one who spoke your soul into existence, who formed you in your mother's womb before Marvin Gaye was ever played with mom and dad. He made you on purpose for relationship with him. I want to speak real this morning. I think this is why God is leading to this place, because some out here this morning would feel, not me, I'm not worthy of that kind of love. Yes, you are. And I've got one argument to prove it. I believe this from the authority of Scripture, not my words, not your opinions, not your thoughts, not my opinions or my thoughts. I believe that we can trace to Scripture that every person who has ever been born was born with purpose and purpose to walk in fellowship and relationship with their Creator. Your very existence here this morning, the breath that is in your lungs, the pulse that is running through your body, the rhythm in your heart is proof to me enough that it is not too far gone for you to have relationship with God. It is what you were created for. Through Jesus, there is a way. The veil was torn so that you could have personal access. I want to read from Ephesians this morning and pick up why I believe God led us to this place even further. So last week we're in Ephesians 3. We got through, I believe, 10 verses, maybe a little further, but I want to back up to verse 10. So we've talked about this family of God, this spiritual building, and then we get to the subtitle here, the mystery of the gospel revealed. That Paul says that he is in prison, and he's in prison for our glory, the Gentiles, so that we, on behalf of us, could hear of the gospel, that we would know that we are fellow heirs. And then he gets to this amazing statement in verse 10. I know I read this last week, but I want to read it again. so that through the church, everybody raise your hand with me if you're a part of the church, not the church at Southside, not the church of XYZ, the church of Jesus Christ, that you believe in who Jesus is. If you are, touch some sky with me this morning, all right? So you're a part of the church. Listen to me this morning. There is no plan B. Plan A is that the manifold wisdom of God be made known to the world through the church. We're it. There's no plan B. He left us here. Anybody ever wonder in a cruel, cruel world, the way that we live now, that why at the moment of salvation we're just not beam me up, Scotty? Like it's over, right? We've done our part. We can be in heaven with Jesus until all things are made new. It's because there is work for us to do as the church. That we are the reason. We are here to point others to Him. That's our job. That's our mission. That's our mandate and our calling. So the church is His plan. It says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, even to the heavenly places and below, to Sheol, as Jesse sings about, that we are the witness to the manifold wisdom of God. I want to pick back up and read the last couple verses just with a couple of thoughts, and then I'll close this morning. So verse 11, it says this, this was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom, listen to this, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. Remember, Paul is in chains. He is in prison for his faith. Here's what he says about himself. In whom we have boldness and access and confidence through faith in Him, so I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is for your glory. So Paul is saying, I'm in prison. I don't want you to lose heart over this. It is for your glory and for your benefit that I am suffering to write you this letter, to let you know that you are in, that you have all access. And by the way, not just access, but boldness with confidence. Here's why I go and say, I want to sum up the Bible with the word God and His people, God with His people, and God in His people. It's heartbreaking to me this morning to think, can I scratch that 1 second? It's heartbreaking for me this morning to know that there are some of you here this morning that don't believe that you have access to God. You don't believe it because you feel like you're living in the world standard, that you've got to live up to some kind of expectation that you have in your own mind or your own heart, or what some church has told you, or what some preachers opened the Bible and made you feel bad. That's not of God. I want to tell you, it hurts because I'm going to be completely transparent this morning. I have stood in front of crowds that were hundreds large, maybe even larger at times, and opened this book and tried what I thought was the Holy Spirit convicting to make people feel bad into acting in some kind of way. It's not of God. There's forgiveness and there's grace for that, but I've made a covenant with God that I will spend the rest of my days when I have this book open, letting people know how much they are loved and valued and treasured by God. And it's heartbreaking for me to think that some out here would feel that they don't have access to God because of something you've done. Can I take you to the cross for just a moment? Everybody, I didn't plan this. This is from God, so I want you to listen intently to the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to my words, but I want you to listen to this morning. Whatever it is that you are thinking denies you access from God, can you think of it in these terms, that when Jesus Himself is laying there on the cross, and by the way, He laid Himself down. You know that, right? Like there was no kicking and screaming. There was no like dragging Him to the cross. You know He willingly laid down in your place, in my place. When He laid down, I mean, He's already been beaten. And not to just belabor the point, but I want you to know what Scripture says. You see, we've got these portrayals on screen of, like, I think of the Passion of the Christ and the Jesus film and all these other things that show this scene when Jesus is on the cross. But when you see that, you can still recognize it's an actor, right? It's a human being. Do you know that the Old Testament says in prophecy that he was beaten so severely that he didn't even have the form of a man? He was a piece of flesh hanging on a cross. He had endured the worst of the worst. And then as he's nailed what's left to a cross and he's hoisted up for the world to see naked on a cross, being spit at, beaten, mocked, and saying, if you're the Savior, come down and save yourself. See, he can't even save himself. How's he going to say, is this your king? All of those things that we know that are in Scripture. He utters the phrase, what? Forgive them, they know not what they're doing. Can I just offer some breaking news this morning? I mean, this is an urgent news bulletin. If we're watching, it's on the crawler, right? Breaking news. If Jesus can forgive to that extent to the very people who nailed him to a cross, I'm telling you this morning, your sin is not so special that you have lost access to him. Just not. You've got access, and not just access with this, like, man, I hope I can kind of sneak around the back and maybe somehow he'll forget what I did. Anybody, this is just deep spiritual truth this morning. Everybody's seen the movie Wayne's World. You remember Wayne's World? Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. There's two people that have seen that movie. Anyone else? Three, four. Can I have five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten? Now we got an illustration. All right, so you've seen it. If you've never seen it, then don't go watch it. It's not that good, but I'll tell you the one part about it that's sticking to my mind. You not only have access to God, but you're Wayne and Garth with the VIP access. Anybody remember that? They couldn't help but walk by and flash the badge, right? Like, I've got backstage access. I've got this unbelievable access. Do you realize to the King of Kings? Our president right now is one Joe Biden, the one who spoke him into existence, the what some would say the ruler, the you know, head of the most powerful country in all the world. God spoke into existence, the one who will bow one day before Jesus. Any politician, any leader you want to name will bow the knee, anyone, anything. You have access. Try to call the White House today. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to speak to Joe, right? Not going to happen. But with one word, Father. It says that you have access, but listen to this, with boldness and confidence. Can I be real transparent this morning? A lot of times when I go to Father, I don't do so with confidence that he even hears little old Keith. Anybody else feel that way this morning? Why would you care about me and all the world? Why would you, what's even the point of praying when, like, it's me? It's just me. And so sometimes the things I'm feeling, I keep within inside myself because I feel like it's not even worth taking it to God, especially when I look around and see all the chaos in the world and it's maybe something little in my eyes. Like, do I even bother? We have boldness and access with confidence. Confident that he hears when we pray. Confident that he listens. Confident that he cares as a loving father. You know that when my kids call me, especially if there's this frantic voice or something, like, I'm going to drop everything. If I can get that, me, a sinful dad, if I can get that, then how much more so our Heavenly Father? I want to share this verse in closing. It's from the book of Hebrews, and it's been on my mind as I thought about this boldness and access that we have with confidence. How do we have that? How can we live that out? How can we believe that with truth and with power? It's this reason alone. You are not accessing the throne of God on your own. You're not entering on your own. Here's how you enter. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren. I like that word, brethren. I think I'm going to start saying that. What's up, brethren? I don't know what the word for sister in that is. Somebody think of that for me. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, again, to enter, right? Confidence, there's that word again. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place, remember that veil that has been torn, the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. Since we have confidence, if we're real this morning, if God was here in the flesh, who would feel confident to walk up and say, hey, Father? Like, I don't know what you would see. I know we have pictures in John, and I know we have or Isaiah and pictures from John in Revelation of what the throne room looks like. But if you had him and you were just able to walk up, would you do so with boldness and confidence? Some of us probably ease on down the street. Man, I can't do that. I don't know that I would be able to do that. Listen to this, though. It used to be a priest that only had access. And then if that priest wasn't clean, if that priest wasn't repentant, he would face possible death. They took it so serious that, you know, there was a legend of even tying a rope to the leg of the priest so that if he were to go in there and he was not in a right place and he fell down dead, they could pull him out so that they didn't enter and cause death themselves. Have you heard that? It's a serious thing, entering into the holy presence of God, being unclean. And Keith, how do we do that with confidence? You don't know what I did last night. You don't know, by the way, what I'm thinking about doing today. How do I be bold and confident to enter into the presence of God? I'm so glad you asked. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, listen to this part. I'll close with this. By the blood of Jesus. My friends, I've got good news this morning. I want to tell you in this way. Jesus changes everything. I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads for just a moment, and I want you to think about this as not to cause or creating a graven image of God, but I want you to picture the Father. And I want you, instead of just a prayerful way, I want you to picture what would it look like for you to enter the presence of God. And as you picture yourself, if you were to walk to the throne room of God, and you are thinking about, man, I would be scared. He knows everything I've done. He's not going to like me. He's never liked me. He wouldn't have let this happen. He wouldn't have let that happen. He wouldn't have let that hurt take place. We have to remember we're in a broken world and God has not caused our pain. He is in the process of making all things new and setting all things right. But as you enter, I want you to think about this. You're not entering on your own accord or your own merit, for none of us could enter in that way. Amen? But think about this as I pray. In Hebrews, it says that we enter with boldness and confidence by the blood of Jesus. My friend, if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, I pray that today would be the day. If you have, I pray that you enter with boldness and confidence, knowing that you are covered by the blood of Jesus, and that when God looks at you, He doesn't look at your past mistakes, your current mistakes, your future mistakes. He looks at you covered in the blood of Jesus, and that is perfection. And that is worthy of the presence of the Father. You pray with me this morning. Father, I pray that that resonates this morning. I pray that if there's those here that have yet to experience your grace and mercy, that they would stop trying to live life on their own, but submit to you, Jesus, say, I need help. I need a Savior. I can't do this on my own. I know that on my own, I can't enter into the presence of God, but by the blood of Jesus. For those that already believe that, would we just walk with more boldness and confidence that just as a good parent here on earth, that you, Father, care about all the details of our life. Everything. Every small little thing that we maybe even bring to our mind. Forgive us of being at a place now, oh, he won't care about that. You care about everything in our life. And we can approach you with boldness and confidence. We have access to you and just a thought, just a word, Father, in Jesus' name, we have access to you. If anyone is like me and wants to ask you for just forgiveness of the fact of taking that for granted or not taking you at your word that we have that kind of access or that you care about the smaller details of our life, no detail is too small to bring to you. You want active conversation. I think that's why Paul says pray without ceasing. Just ongoing conversation with you. And let us not take for granted not just the talking to you, but listening to you, Father, as your Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. We love you. We trust you. And Jesus, we thank you for the access we have to Father through your blood, through your sacrifice. It is finished, you said. We trust in the finished work of the cross and pray that over every soul here today, that everyone would bow the knee to you here on earth, here in the here and now, and that we would walk in that bold confidence in you, Father. We love you, we thank you, and most importantly, we need you. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. We'll call out names here in just a few.